Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's pick up where we left off yesterday when we had John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, with us. You know what? The one story John wanted to talk about yesterday, he joined us for 2 hours, and we never got to the one story he wanted to talk about. John, I don't know if you're listening right now, but, man, we got to give you an alibi on that one. I came in. I was setting up all the show prep for today's show. And I saw this tweet from John Jackson. Democrats have no intention of ever letting Trump in the White House again. And they are openly admitting that they will start a civil war over it. This has a legal definition. It is called sedition. And it was basically, it was audio that has recently been unearthed of Congressman Jamie Raskin, you know, this Democrat Congressman Jamie Raskin, he is one of the conspiracy theorists that ran with the Russia hoax, that deliberately lied to the American people to undermine the president of the United States. I need to go back and pull that clip up for you because, yeah, we had John on for, we kept him around for the 9 o'clock hour. We had him on for 2 hours yesterday, took so many phone calls, covered so much ground, obviously had the breaking news about crazy Kamala's wacko walls running mate. So that took up a lot of the conversation, and we never got to the one thing that John wanted to talk about on the show. I'll pull it up, John. I'll pull up the audio, or better yet, hey, you can call in if you want to, you know, just give us some of your insight on that one. It'd be a little bit of an alibi from Tuesday's show. But hey, you can call in as well. We've got the phone lines open here in this 8 o'clock hour, 406-294-0970. And a lot of information to get to here for you this morning. The one thing that I do have coming up this hour so far is we're going to talk with a leading official from the Montana Department of Justice, the chief of the Montana DOJ's Prosecution Services Bureau. It's been a busy couple of months and successful couple of months, by the way, putting criminals behind bars. So Assistant Attorney General Dan Gazinski is going to join us here right after our 8:20 break this morning. So we'll get to that later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We've got we'll have open phones for most of the program. And then towards the end of the show this morning, one of our own Olympic athletes from here in Montana is back in Montana and is going to join us in studio, medals in hand even possibly. So that's going to be really cool. Very excited about that. Minnesota nice. Kind of reminds me of Canada nice. Remember when they said, oh, everybody in Canada is nice. I met the nicest young couple from Saskatchewan, Canada, in Miles City on Friday. They are. They're Canada nice. But not everybody from Canada is Canada nice. We learned that during the crazy COVID years, didn't we? They were Canada nice, that's for sure. Nice young couple. What about Minnesota nice? Jesse Waters summed up walls the best. He's not Minnesota nice. He's Minnesota nuts. He let the city burn and Kamala bailed out the rioters.
Securing America.
August 7th is National Purple Heart Day, which recognizes those who have been wounded or killed in action while defending the United States. George Washington created the Purple Heart on August 7th, 1782. It was first known as the Badge of Military Merit, but it was not a regular honor until it was revived on Washington's 200th birthday in 1932, when it was made retroactive, meaning soldiers from World War I could be honored. The first such medal was given to General Douglas MacArthur. In 1942, Congress changed the parameters for the Purple Heart, making it awardable only for injuries or wounds suffered in service, and expanded it to all the military branches. Originally, it was restricted to just Army soldiers. Purple symbolizes the courage of those who serve. The modern medal features a bust of Washington on one side and the words "for military merit" on the other. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got an alibi here. We better play this one. You know, John Jackson joined us for 2 hours on the show yesterday, and we never got to the one story that he wanted to talk about. We talked about everything you guys wanted to talk. We never got to the story he wanted to talk about. Jamie Raskin. Remember, Jamie Raskin was a 2000 election denier. He said Bush and Cheney stole the election. And then how ironic was it that he was teaming up with Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz Cheney, to undermine President Trump and say, well, Trump shouldn't be allowed to go into office because Trump was criticizing the 2020 election. It's like, oh, but you can hold office even though you criticized the 2000 elections. But listen to what Jamie Raskin, this was recently unearthed here. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, shared this via X.com. Listen to what Jamie Raskin is saying about the outcome of the 2024 elections. He doesn't even care how you vote.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job.
So Jamie Raskin is basically saying he doesn't care what happens this November. He and his fellow Democrats are going to try to prevent Donald J. Trump from being president no matter what. And you heard him there invoke civil war being invoked there by Jamie Raskin. All right. There's another tweet from John that I want to share with you here this morning as well. But first, let's get to the phone lines. We've got Andre in Butte listening to KXTL. Andre, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I have a question. You know, one of the biggest blunders that, or the biggest blunder that basically created was, you know, locking Russia out on trade, to be able to trade, and then we lost the petrodollar. And I'm just trying to see what your take is on that, you know, because then China got off the dollar, India, United Emirates, the Arab countries, Iran, and so on, and now almost half of the world economy is no longer on the petrodollar.
Mm, good point. Yeah. The BRICS were a part of that whole deal, too. Like the BRICS, BRIC, Brazil thrown in there, they started bailing on the American dollar as well, right?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that made the U.S. made a lot of money with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it also one of the things that strengthened the dollar, you know, that holds the dollar up. But now it looks like they're all bailing on it, and it's like every other president protected that. Biden did not. He made the mistake by trying to lock Russia out, and then they just went another way.
Well, and if he wanted to go after Russia, what should he have done? He should have drilled baby drill right here in America, increased American production, increased American exploration, because production will go up as prices go up. It's the exploration that's important, getting more rigs out there in the oil fields. And that's where he did it. So if he wanted to go after Russia, that's the approach he should have taken. But instead, he ended up enriching Russia and moving countries that had been working with America and pushing them towards Russia. This is another example of his failed foreign policy. Joe Biden, see, he wanted to turn Saudi Arabia's crown prince into a pariah. Why did he want to turn the crown prince of Saudi Arabia into a pariah? Because Donald J. Trump was working very closely with the Crown Prince to broker these peace deals between Israel and all these Arab countries. So Joe Biden could not have Donald Trump look good, so he had to trash Saudi Arabia. So in the process, why do we have all this violence in the Middle East right now? That's in part why we, and then as you point out, that also is why we've pushed countries away from the U.S. and towards Russia, because of the failed foreign policy of Joe Biden.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Sadly to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just wondering what, nobody's really talking about it. And that was one of the biggest blunders that the Biden administration.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, you got to kind of follow the finance publications, Wall Street Journal, some of those others to really be tracking that story, don't you? But you're right. It's big. Another big Biden blunder. Andre, great to hear from you. John in Billings next up. John, what's going on?
Hey, the Trump rally in Bozeman, I'm concerned about the Dems protesting that rally. Is there something us Republicans do about that?
Show up, I guess. Yeah. Well, I hope they show up to protest it. I hope they Kevin Ham drives down from Helena. I hope Zoe Zephyr's out there. I wish John Tester would show up for once.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Like, we could confront them with our own signs, be one-on-one and just tell them to get. I mean, it's our rally. It's not theirs. So.
Yeah. No, I hope they show up. I was telling a friend too, he was concerned, man, we might wait in line all that time and not make it in. I said, man, part of the fun is just seeing all the people that show up and just being there even for that part of it, even if you can't make it inside. I got to take a quick break here. John, thanks for the call. Stand by if you got more to share.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Since the pandemic, earned wage access apps are gaining in popularity. The apps like EarnIn extend small short-term loans to workers in between paychecks so they can pay bills and meet their everyday needs. On payday, the user pays back the money out of their wages. Proponents of the app say they help people living paycheck to paycheck manage their finances so they can avoid overdrawing funds from their bank account. But some analysts, along with consumer advocates and lawmakers, say the EW apps can trap users in an endless cycle of borrowing that depletes their earnings. Many charge monthly subscription fees along with mandatory fees for instant transfers of funds. However, there is typically a no-cost option to receive funds in 1 to 3 business days. Before you choose an earned wage access app, consider using an EWA provider that has the most benefits but at the least cost for you. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. We got one more addition to the lineup here this morning. So I told you later on this morning, around 9:40, one of the incredible Olympic athletes from Montana is back home from Paris with Olympic medals in hand. And I believe he's going to join us in studio later this morning. So that's going to be very cool. But it was actually pretty cool. So last night I thought, I'm going to pull up. Have you ever caught yourself and you're just sitting there, you're scrolling, and you're reading nonstop news, and some of it's good information. But also you're just like, okay, trash, social media. And you're like, man, my mind is so full of mush right now. I just need to put this down. And I was sitting there and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up the YouVersion Bible app. Now, I'm not, being one of these, oh, look at me praying in public to show you how righteous I am. I've told you before, I'm the furthest thing from a pastor. If you didn't know that already, you're looking for a pastor, go see Tim and Savage. But anyway, this was so cool. I pull this up and I pull up this devotional. And this devotional was based off of a Scottish runner named Eric Liddell, who was the fastest man on the planet 100 years ago at the 1924 Olympics in Paris. This is an incredible story. But I found the guy who actually drafted this devotional, And I reached out to him. He's going to join us. Because I could read this thing for you. But I thought, hey, why not get the guy who actually knows the story to join us on the show and tell you about it. So that's going to be coming up around 8:40. First, a very, very cool story. But first up, though, great to have Assistant Attorney General Dan Gosinski with us on the show right now. Dan heads up the Prosecution Services Bureau in the Montana Attorney General's office. Dan, great to have you on the show. Sounds like you've had a busy and successful few months here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. I appreciate it. It has been busy, and we've had a lot of success. We have a team of just really incredible attorneys working for Prosecution Services Bureau, and we've enjoyed a lot of success, Aaron.
You know, what a contrast, too, when we see national Democrats putting up the soft-on-crime walls as the running mate for the soft-on-crime Kamala Harris when she was a San Francisco liberal prosecutor, to where in Montana, we've got the best attorney general in the country with a not the biggest team, but an effective team, and which you're a part of. What has kept you the most busy?
I think the biggest change we've had in Montana as far as PSB's perspective is just the amount of violent crime in rural Montana right now. And, you know, a lot of these are you know, aggravated assaults and just the use of guns and violence in rural Montana. But just a huge uptick in homicides in places where we've never seen homicides before. And I think that's really kept Prosecution Services pretty busy. That's our main mission, is to serve counties that need assistance with prosecution. And a lot of these rural places have a great county attorney that wear a lot of different hats, but they've never, you know, prosecuted a homicide case. So the team that Austin has will go out there and prosecute places like Marr County and Judith Basin and Thompson Falls and kind of embed ourselves in those communities and take care of those homicide cases. But, for example, in 2018, I was looking at some numbers, Aaron. We had less than 10 homicides as a group in Montana. You know, today in 2024, we're averaging 30 homicides, and most of those are in rural Montana. And so I think the things like places that have all this violence and the drug use all over the country, and not only have we seen that in places like Billings and Missoula, but now it's really, really seeping into rural Montana, which is really unfortunate because it's such a special place.
Well, I know one of the things that Attorney General Austin Knutson has been touting, he's a former Speaker of the House, so he knows the legislature well, but thanks to the Republican supermajority in the legislature and Governor Greg Gianforte, we've now got much tougher laws on the books, in particular to go after these fentanyl dealers, especially if somebody deals fentanyl and that ends up taking the life of somebody and they kill somebody because of the fentanyl that they dealt out. We've got much harsher penalties now. Talk a little bit about the successes that you've seen as a result, whether it's that or some of your other successful efforts.
Yeah, you know, the fentanyl, the tougher penalties with fentanyl, I think it does give prosecutors a lot more tools. And I know it's a priority of AG Knutson to really handle this epidemic and the tragedy that happened with so many people overdosing to fentanyl. And it's all brought about by the drug dealers and from out-of-the-area drug dealers. And that's given the tools to local prosecutors. PSB doesn't do a lot of those cases, but DCI, our Division of Criminal Investigators, has a whole narcotics unit that is supported by the AG, and they're doing a fantastic job. And then I would say, you know, as far as PSB goes, we've had a lot of success doing these homicide cases. We prevailed on a case over in a small little enclave called Fallon, Montana, which is a couple hours east of Billings, where there was a homicide. And we did that in August, and it was a tough case. We had a co-defendant trial coming up soon. And then, you know, we've done a lot of work over in western Montana. And Thorne Dice, a prosecutor that works for me, a senior prosecutor, has worked with other prosecutors, Celine Kepke and Caitlin Creighton. And they've had huge success, Aaron. I don't know if you remember that huge fire that happened over in Big Fork that took out a number of really expensive homes and stuff. And PSB was able to hold the offender accountable in a long jury trial that was head up by Thorne Geist and Sleep Kepke to that case. And then we had the Norman homicide trial over there just recently, a couple weeks ago, over north of there in Flathead. But a case that I think the AG and everybody in PSB is so proud of, and there was such a commitment of resources and attention, was Trooper Lewis Johnson. I don't know if you recall that case.
Of course. Billings,
but huge. Yeah, thank you, Aaron. Thank you. You know, he is severely injured. It will impact the rest of his life on the things that he's able to do. And it was a challenging case. And and PSB was successful in holding him accountable for attempted homicide in the trial. And again, that was head up by Thorin Geist, who did a great job in that case, and Slink Kepke helped out. And so we've had a lot of success. And we also have, and something I haven't even mentioned, is the sexual offenses we do in rural Montana. And we've had some successes in getting convictions in the case of DeRoche, Stacey DeRoche, who was a cop who raped a lady over in Cutbank Creek. And as you know, Aaron, these cases are so tough. And then the Evans incest case. And these are just the highlights. And I got to tell you, Aaron, our team's just not that big either. We only have like 5 or 6 general prosecutors that travel the state, and then we have some specialized prosecutors. But AG Knutson gives us the resources to do what we need to do to try to help these rural communities out.
Well, and that it's that teamwork where, hey, you have a small team inside the Montana Attorney General's office, but yet look at what you're doing to push back on federal overreach and more. And likewise, these county prosecutors have small teams as well. And so, but by partnering together, just like you partner with other states, that's how you're able to be nimble and effective at the same time. Let's see. What's the common? And well, let me highlight one other thing too. You mentioned. You know, the fires and that arson near Big Fork, Montana, and the nice homes that were destroyed in the process. So many of these fires are human caused, oftentimes deliberately caused. And so we need to make a bigger example of the criminals who commit these crimes. And because, you know, the left wants to just say, oh, it's climate change. No, it's criminals. It's criminals, not climate change. And so. Man, if your office wants to send me, you know, some photographs or more information on that case in particular, I want to make a, you know, big deal out of that story for our websites as well, because we have to make examples of these criminals. Otherwise, you know, people just go willy nilly thinking they can get away with this type of stuff. So they need to know the potential for prosecution that's out there. Are there common themes? Why are we seeing, you know, especially the violent crimes? It sounds like most of it is it's being driven by the Mexican drug cartels, our wide open southern border, the meth, the fentanyl, and more.
I've kind of looked at whether there's a pattern in why we are involved so much in rural Montana on these homicide cases. And you're right, Aaron, a lot of it is drugs. But a lot of it, I think, is some of these, I mean, a good portion of them are domestic violence that turn really, really bad, where people are killing spouses over children, custody, those types of things. And I also think another thing is just how easy and accessible Montana is to the outside world. You know, think about how hard it was to get to these places maybe 10, 15 years ago, you know, with planes and stuff. But everything is so easily accessible. You can be in California one moment, and you can be in Hill County where two people were just killed over drugs, several hours later. And that was a case in Hill County where we have 3 defendants, Ibanez, Castilla, and Sanchez, who were from out of the area, out-of-state drugs coming into Montana. And it was about money. They came and executed 2 people in Hill County, earlier this year. So I think it is drugs, but I think a lot of it is just domestic violence. And, you know, and the stuff that I do think, you know, there's lack of mental health treatment all over the country, and that plays into it. But I would say, Aaron, looking at a common denominator, I think drugs you have to look at, but it's hard to find other patterns, really.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, this has been fascinating insight. We got to get you on the show more often here. Assistant Attorney General Dan Gazinski heads up the Prosecution Services Bureau for the Montana Attorney General's Office. Great to have you on the program. And, hey, if they can break out of the office there in Helena one of these days, let's get you in studio.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks. Always nice to talk to you, Aaron.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks so much for your time this morning. Mid-morning. I had to get my mid-morning snack because we got a big show that we're going to continue with here coming up after our next break here. I'm going to have that guest on talking about the 1924 Olympics. But had to have my mid-morning snack, so I broke out a bag of chips. I know what some of you are thinking. Aaron, I thought you were trying to, you know, maintain your weight. You know, you did so well with that Billings Last Diet program. Why are you eating a bag of chips for your mid-morning snack? Well, let me tell you, I broke out a bag of chips that I picked up yesterday at Billings Last Diet. They're these protein chips. They're the nacho cheese ones. Their nacho Dorado chips are even better than they were 6 years ago when they first started the program. They've got even more seasoning on them now, and it's like to where like your fingertips are orange. It's like, oh, that seasoning is so good. That's right. You can eat healthy and eat good food at the same time, like Montana beef, yeah, you name it. Hey, they've got a remote option. You don't have to be in Billings to benefit from Billings Last Diet and lose the weight like I did. A remote option now available. BillingsLastDiet.com.
Democracy 2024.
Vice President Kamala Harris telling supporters,
I am now officially the Democratic nominee.
Calling running mate Governor Tim Walz a patriot, a former teacher who served in the Army National Guard and Congress.
Tim Walz will be ready on day one.
Stressing they'll bring prices down and promote freedom.
We mean the freedom to make your own health care decisions. And for our children to be free to go to school without worrying they'll be shot dead in their classrooms.
Saying the GOP ticket focuses on chaos, fear, and hate.
And so my promise to you is this. Our campaign will reach out to everyone. From red states to blue states.
Calling it a fight for the future. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The night before the Trump rally in Bozeman, Montana, we're going to have a cool event, kind of like a little pre-funk for the Trump rally. We're going to be doing a cool event at the brewery in Laurel. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. Or better yet, get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone and you'll see it right there. Plus, we've exposed yet again the fake news narrative against wolf hunting. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was telling you, I came across this last night. You know, you just... You guys probably know what I'm talking about here, you know, especially doing a talk show like this where you got to be prepared for anything. And there's all sorts of crazy stuff in the news. Do you ever get the same way I do? I know a lot of you guys are news junkies out there. And you get to this point where you're just scrolling. And, you know, even if it's good information, eventually you just get tired of information. And so, you know, so I'm scrolling, and it's like trash, news, and it's like finally, okay, I'm gonna just put my phone down. But then I'm like, no, let me pick up my phone. Let me go check out this YouVersion Bible app. And I'm really glad that I did, because in about 1 hour, we're gonna have one of our Montana Olympic athletes, 2024 Olympians, who is just back from Paris, that's going to join us in about 1 hour. But what about this story? This was the story that I came across last night when I pulled that app open from the 1924 Olympics, 100 years ago in Paris. A life laid down, true faith. Anyway, we've got Derek. Derek, I hope I pronounce your name correctly here. Is it Derek Rain? Joining us now on the program, and Derek is with the Kingdom Impact Network. Derek, thanks for joining us. Oh, wrong phone line. I apologize. Hold on. Well, there we go. Derek, all right. I'm obviously spent too much time on my phone, and I'm pressing the wrong buttons now. Derek, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us the story here. 100 years ago in Paris, he was, fastest man on the planet.
Yes. I mean, this is really, truly an extraordinary story, and it's really been an inspiration to me personally. I live in Paris. I've been doing lots of different events and evangelism and outreach during the Olympics. But when I first heard the story of Eric Little, there's something that has touched my heart. And so, yeah, 1924 was the last time the Olympics was in Paris, 100 years ago. He was the fastest man on the planet, and he was widely predicted to win the 100-meter gold medal. But he was a Christian, and his race actually fell on a Sunday. So he, staying true to his convictions, decided to take a Sabbath on that Sunday. And instead of running the race, he decided to preach at a local church here in Paris. So he was disqualified. And this stand that he took, like, sent ripples throughout the Olympic world. There are even stories of the Olympic Committee way back in 1924 saying, you know, hey, Eric, you know, the Sabbath ends at noon. But he was like, you know, my Sabbath lasts all day. So he was unwavering in his faith. And so the extraordinary thing is that he ended up entering into the 400-meter race, which is not really common for 100-meter athletes to compete in 400 meters. But he ended up not only winning the gold medal, but he broke the world record. And so really, truly, God does honor those who honor him. And not only did he win this incredible moment, in his feet, but he ended up actually turning away from the fame because it was all over the world that this feat of breaking the world record was front page news in different areas. But he ended up being a missionary in China, which is where he was born. And so he ended up going there and spent several years there, but he ended up dying in an internment camp during the Second World War. So his story has been a huge inspiration to me personally, and has just really challenged me to say, what is it that I'm able to do with the faith that God has given me to lay my life down? So yeah, that's the story of Eric Little, and there's a committee here in Paris that's been working to highlight his story. So it's super, I'm super grateful to be able to share this with folks on your radio station today.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So he, after, you know, he bows out of the 100-meter race because it was on a Sunday and he wanted to observe the Sabbath, and he was expected to win the gold. He runs for the 400-meter race instead, breaks the world record, and gets the gold. He gets international acclaim, but then puts that all aside to go serve as a missionary in China. How did he end up in an internment camp during the Second World War? Because, you know, China obviously wasn't against us at the time.
Yeah, well, the Japanese had come into China at the time, and so he ended up in a Japanese internment camp in China. And so that whole part of the world is, you know, was at the time and still very much today is anti-Christian. So he was in this area doing ministry and missionary work. And during the Second World War, there was a lot of chaos, and so the Japanese came in, and he was part of this internment camp that was there. But there's many stories about the things that he was even doing then. He was coaching kids and serving the elderly people in that area. He was acting as a referee, and so he really shined his light until the end. And one of my favorite stories that I've heard is that, given his kind of notoriety at the time, there were some diplomatic efforts to get him released, but one of the things that happened was there was a pregnant woman also in the internment camp, and it was like basically down to him. And they said, hey, do you want to, you have the opportunity to leave. But he actually said, you know, I'd rather have this woman who's pregnant leave instead. So he decided to not leave. And shortly after that, he became sick and he died. So, yeah, that's part of the story as well.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, 100 years ago when he was in the Olympics, and of course the Olympics had been taking place in Paris once again. So you live in Paris, so you've been serving as a missionary in Paris. You know, a lot of us, when we saw the highlights of the opening ceremony for the 2024 Olympics this year, we thought, wow, it you know, where it appeared as though they were mocking the Last Supper and mocking Christians, it appeared to be just a bigoted display, the way many of us here in the United States saw that. But I think the broader concern was that it seemed to be a symbol of how not only America has been in a cultural decline, but really how Western civilization is on the brink right now as well. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, there's so many things I could say. Really, when you look at the history of France, the Olympic flame is really the focus, and it was actually a ceremony. So I should say I started following Jesus when I was 40. I was born in Great Falls, so this is really a big honor.
Wow.
But when I was watching the opening ceremony, what I was thinking about is the fact that this was truly a ceremony, and the flame actually comes from the oldest temple in Greece, which is the temple to the Greek goddess Hera, who's kind of like this, what we would consider modern day, like people who pray to Mother Earth or to Gaia, things like that, the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah chapter 7. And so this is literally an offering on an altar in Greece. And then the flame was really paraded around the entire country of France. And then, as you saw, and the world saw, paraded up this river. And so for me, I was like, okay, this opening ceremony, they were trying to spin it as having an artistic flavor. But really, you know, the whole focus should be on sports and the celebration of international unity and the nations coming together. Mm-hmm. But it was really this kind of this undercurrent of this cultural tones, which is often increasingly anti-Christian. But I really think that it's something that many people saw, myself included, and just thought, you know, this is just it's more in our face than it's ever been before. And our job as Christians is certainly first to love people, but at the same time to speak the truth of the Word of God. And so, yeah, that's what I can say about that. It was a very clear display of kind of the cultural tide in the country and as you said, in the Western world.
And no, fascinating insight. It's interesting, too, because especially you talk about 100 years ago, Scottish runner Eric Little, 1924 Olympics, and then he becomes a missionary in China. I suspect that the number of Christians is rising rapidly, even within anti-Christian communist China right now, but yet the numbers are on the decline in probably France and in the United States.
Yeah, you know, it's true. You know, many people don't realize when I first came to France, I was kind of under the impression that Europe was largely Christian. But when you look at the numbers, you know, France itself has 1.4% of the whole population that's Protestant evangelical. So it's largely unreached. And there's a huge section of the population, about 56%, that's atheist, agnostic, about 10% that's Muslim. And then the New Age, of course, has kind of invaded as well. And so it's true. You know, there's declines in Western countries, but there's also fascinating things happening where missions were initially launched from, you know, Europe, United States. A lot of people that were impacted in countries like Brazil and continents like Africa are now returning and being called to come back to those places. And so
That's right. It's
a fascinating day to see how the Lord is moving as well.
Yes, so, we need Christians from China and Christians in Africa to come do missions back here in America, right? Hey, Derek, I'll tell you what, if you can, Derek Rain is with the Kingdom Impact Network. We got to take a quick break here, but if you can, I'd love to ask you a couple more questions here, but I got to take a quick break. Stand by if you can. We'll come back to you right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Walls said it's insane that people would be upset with Target for partnering with a satanic designer to promote trans products for kids. You know, he's acknowledged his own white privilege, though, as governor. And said that the office of governor had better be used not just for talk about the problem, but to solve the problem. He sympathized with the vandals that tore down the Statue of Columbus at the Capitol and refused to resurrect it. Walls is a climate radical who wants, you know, to phase out all fossil fuels. What is going on here? Where do you hear from, like, the people that he served with when he was in the National Guard? As soon as he's about to be deployed, he immediately got out. Compare that to J.D. Vance's record. Good luck.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter, protect your home, and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity, and do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount, one discount per household.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We frequently hear from builders that the delays in getting approvals end up making their projects more expensive. That complaint seems even more important today, with higher interest rates making the delays in getting buildings completed even more costly. Recent research that examined the impact of delays in multifamily housing projects in L.A. suggests that those delays might be costing more than we previously believed. That's because delays can cause many projects to die, and new housing is built at all. The research found that a 25% reduction in approval time duration would increase the rate of new housing construction production by almost 12%. And since faster approvals make new residential investment more attractive, the researchers estimate that the survival of existing and the addition of new projects add up to a 33% gain in housing production from both of these forces. Can solving affordability be as easy as this? I'm Patrick Barkey.
973-3083.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I love the Montana connection here. I literally just sent his organization an email earlier this morning. Hey, do you want to join us on the radio? All the way from Paris, and yet there's a Montana connection once again. Let me sneak in a very quick phone call here. Tom in Bozeman, I imagine, has some great insight. Tom, what do you want to share real quick before we hear more from Derek Rain?
Just want to say the whole story of Eric Liddell, Harold Abrams, and the 24 Olympics is the movie Chariots of Fire. So rent and watch the movie Chariots of Fire. It tells a strong Christian message. Harold Abrams had a very secular approach, and Eric Little had a very spiritual approach to running and to life in general. And that Christian movie with a solid message, everyone in Hollywood passed on it. No one would produce the movie, and some much smaller studio wound up doing the movie. And it won the Academy Award for
really?
The best movie.
Chariots of Fire. Is that what you said? Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
I got to check that one out. Tom, thanks for the call. Back to Derek Rain with the Kingdom Impact Network. Yeah, 1924 Olympics in Paris. Derek, you were born in Great Falls. Your dad was in the Air Force. You got a bunch of Great Falls, Montana connections, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I could just add one quick note about Chariots of Fire and then jump into this Montana connection. So yeah, there's a group of missionaries and pastors here that have put together kind of a centennial anniversary for Eric Little. If you go to ericlittle2024.com, you can find that. We actually have a video from the producer of the movie Chariots of Fire, David Putnam, who gladly agreed to share some of his thoughts on the centennial as well. So yeah, ericlittle2024.com. But yeah, there's a Montana connection. Yes, I was born in Great Falls, Montana in 1978, so way back then. And it was amazing because I didn't see the hand of the Lord on my life back then, because my dad tried for 5 years to get pregnant. They were stationed in Germany at the time. And all of a sudden, after 5 years of trying, they became pregnant with my twin brother and myself. My mom in 1978 in January came all the way from Germany to Great Falls, where her family was, and I was it was supposed to be born on March 24th, 1978. But as the Lord had it, I was 6 weeks late. My brother and I were 6 weeks late, and my mom gave birth at the old Columbus Hospital in Great Falls, May 10th, 1978. So I was the very last baby born in that hospital, and when I came out 24 minutes after my brother, my lungs had collapsed, and so they didn't actually have the proper equipment at that hospital. So they sent me to the brand new hospital on the other side of town that was just opening. And the amazing thing was I was having seizures, you know, my lungs collapsed. There was, you know, all this brain damage. And there were seven doctors that looked at the brain scan images in my brain, and they said, he's going to be a vegetable. Mm-hmm. And at that exact moment, my mom told me recently, a few years ago, she said, at that moment, there was a prayer chain that was started. And of course, here I am 46 years later, talking to you and your wonderful audience.
The Lord's been breathing life into those lungs ever since, huh?
Amen. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a Montana connection for sure.
That's incredible. Less than a minute to go. You said, look, people are moving. Muslims are even converting during the last 2 weeks with the Olympics alone. How are you received? What do you talk about on the streets of Paris? Unfortunately, only about 30 seconds to go.
Sure. yeah. So I'd say the biggest story here is there's 2,000 to 3,000 missionaries and evangelists in the streets of Paris, and we're sharing the gospel. And we're praying for people. People are being healed. There's literally been reports of hundreds and hundreds of people that have been saved. And so as the nations have come here, God's moving. And as people are hearing the gospel, they're coming and responding to it. So it's a really beautiful thing to see.
Derek Rain with the Kingdom Impact Network. This was incredible. What a nice, there are no coincidences. What a nice plan that somebody had in store for us here this morning. Thanks for your time.
That's right.
And thanks for being with us. All right. We'll have the phone lines open for the first half of the show right after this.